You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for the day, so let's find out what happened. This is the 5 o'clock shadow, and with me is Nick Kunze, who is from Sanlam Private Wealth in Johannesburg, and this podcast is proudly brought to you by sharenet.co.za. Should we start with the corporate story that really caught my eye, and that was MTN. The Nigerians still having a go at MTN. Who's right and who's wrong? And in the future, should South African companies be doing such big business with Nigeria? Because it seems to be a problem to me.
Evening, Lindsay, and evening to your listeners. Yes, exactly that. Some people refer to it as a bit of a shakedown happening in Nigeria, and it certainly begs the question. It's the same as when companies used to try to go to the UK, and people used to get nervous of them expanding out of Africa. You get the feeling now that any South African company that wants to go to Nigeria, which evidently is still trying to get the mantle for the biggest economy in Africa, so you pretty much have to be there. But is it worth the effort? I guess that's the question. As you said, the shakedown, trying to hold this MTN piggy bank. And of course, the cynics out there saying as soon as the oil price is off its highs, you know, the Nigerian government comes after the big multinationals and MTN being in the crosshairs. Yes, so I would be very nervous if any company is going to Nigeria right now.
Okay, the number of $2 billion has been put about that MTN has to pay the Nigerian government. What did the share price do? I saw it down around about 7% when the news broke. What did it do on the close?
It was down as much as 7% when it broke. It actually squeezed all the way back into the auction and finished up almost unchanged, 90 rand 50. So I think a lot of the cynics, sort of all the bottom pickers, saying, you know, every single time the story comes out, there's no substance to it, and they are going to resolve it. I mean, Rob Shooter, only a few weeks ago, talking quite passionately above, as far as he's concerned, there's no story and everything's being sorted. But of course, every time the story breaks, the algos, the day traders out there jump on the top of it and try to see if they can make a story out of it. But at the moment, as I said, if you look at the price action, they don't quite believe that the story, especially squeezing it all the way to unchanged in the close.
Yeah, okay. And we had a couple of bits of data coming out. We spoke about one of them on the opening this morning. That was the Civil Construction Confidence Index, which is at its lowest level ever. There's another one as well, leading economic indicator, which I've conducted a podcast about. And also there was the quarterly employment data in South Africa. It's not like the non-farm payrolls we get from the States on a monthly basis, Nick, but it showed a slight increase in employment. But beneath that, there are issues that really don't bode well for GDP and the economy in future, being a consumption-led economy. That's what I'm referring to.
No, they don't. And later on this week, which will tie in with those economic indicators you're looking at, is we've got our PPR, we've got our Reserve Bank meeting on Thursday, and I'm sure they'll be watching all these data points quite closely. And incidentally, tying in with the Nigerian story and tying in with what you're currently talking about now is the fact that Nigeria had their rates decision today, and there was a bit of a surprise. It actually came in, they actually decided to cut rates by 0.5%, which took the market by surprise. So it just looks like the emerging market space, the whole story with the world sort of slowing down as we know it, is now overflowing into EM, which we thought was a bit out of this way. But it just shows that not even the emerging market space is immune to a slowdown. As I said, that's possibly why the rand also blew out almost 1% against the dollar today.
Yeah, we'll talk about that now. In fact, that's a nice lead into the economic indicators and the indexes that we cover on the JSE. So here we go. On the JSE today, the banks were down 0.2%, financials up 0.5%, industrials up 0.2%, retailers were 0.4% gainers, resources up 0.5%, gold shares lost 1.2%, platinum's up 1.75% after a couple of dodgy days, and the all share itself 55,694, which was 0.6% up. And the value traded, relatively skinny. $15.8 billion. Dollar rand 14.41. British pound against the rand 19.06. Euro rand 16.27. Euro dollar 112.90. The gold price down 7 to $13.15 an ounce. The platinum price up 3 to $8.61. The oil price, Brent crude in London, currently $67.93 per barrel. Dow Jones up about 1%. And I've suddenly lost the FTSE. Nick, maybe you could help me with the FTSE, and if you can't, then we'll just skip over it for now anyway. But
no, we certainly can. FTSE up 0.46%. Obviously, still trading for another 10 minutes, but up 0.5%.
Exactly, and we've got a melt-up in the United States. It was yesterday that we saw what was the S&P? It was something like 2790 at one point, and looking for all the world as though it was going to break down following Friday's meltdown. And now here we are melting up again. Quite extraordinary.
Melting up in all of our dream, as they say. Yes, these markets are flip-flopping, certainly S&P, either side of that 2800 level, that quadruple top, as we spoke about yesterday, now firmly above it, 30 points higher. Decent numbers coming out of the U.S. consumer confidence numbers, surprisingly to the upside. There's some financials, a bit of M&A activity as well. So, you know, a lot of bottom pickers coming in as soon as they're sort under that 20th level, buying it up, but, you know, firmly up a percent and tying in with this theme of the week, this risk on and risk off, as you pointed out in your indicators. All the risk on indicators are strong. You know, equities up firmly, bond yields back up and bid again. And on the flip side, gold going the other way and getting the brunt of it. And the EM currency is also a bit weaker as that stronger dollar filters through.
Top five major moves on my sharenet.co.za screen are as follows. Northern Platinum up nearly 5%. Kumba Iron Ore 4.75% to the good. Motus up 4.75%. RCL 3.5% better. Fortress B up 3.3%. Any on your list that you want to add? Any stories amongst those?
Thrown a couple of the fallen angels of the past. Blue Label Telecom's got a bit. That's up 5.25%. And that poor old Tongaat Hulett, which has been so beaten down, managed to find some buys and some decent sales in the auction too. That's up also 5%. So a lot of bottom pickers coming in as this market turned.
Yes, Telcom down 3.4%, PSG Consult a 3% loser, Goldfields down 2.4%, Capitec down 2%. Their results are coming out this week, aren't they?
Capitec out this week, yes, correct. Yeah,
it's going to be very interesting indeed, because suddenly a few people that I follow are suddenly saying, yeah, it's had a good run, but it still doesn't justify where it is on a rating basis, in other words, PE ratio. So it'll be interesting to see if their results continue to delight an adoring investing public. Netcare down 1.7%. Go back to Capitec. It's a fascinating story. Do you believe it?
It's a fascinating story.
Do you believe it?
Well, so far, so good. I mean, the naysayers have been out there. They've, you remember a few years ago, the oldest crowd, like I still remember this with African Bank broke, that story. Everyone said Capitec was next, and they were trying to short the share and see the next domino to fall out of these micro lenders. But so far, Capitec proving to be a very different story. A lot of business banking. They've obviously done the buyers of that Portuguese bank was a mercantile bank, yes. To get a hold of their business side too. So turning out to be a very different story to what people were expecting, and one would have to say, heaven forbid, she maturing into one of now the top five banks. And so far, managed to the naysayers out there being disappointed quarter after quarter. It's coming in with its numbers, but doesn't take away, Lindsay, that it is still an expensive share. PE-wise, as you said, it's not cheap. But so far, it keeps delivering quarter after quarter.
Let's hope it continues to do so for the sake of the shareholders, the existing shareholders. Nick, thank you very much for your analysis. As always, that's Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth in Johannesburg. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za.